Hi everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom, and we're going to travel today to the middle part of America, to Chicago, which has the nickname of the Windy City. And to discuss the article with me, I have with me in the studio
Brandon. Hello everybody, it's good to be here to talk about this travel article. I actually have never been to Chicago, so listeners, I'm learning along with you. Maybe many of you have not yet been to Chicago, but there are obviously, based on this article, a lot of things to see and do.
And?
Hello, everyone. This is Josh, and I am, as always, very happy to be here to talk about traveling, and Chicago is a fantastic destination.
And you have been there.
I have been there. I have not been there for tours. I've been there for travel, and I've been there to visit family. So there are still many, many things in Chicago I have not seen.
And my name is Linda, and I am really happy to discuss this article and share with you what I know about Chicago. My son did his undergraduate study. Oh, and I guess his master's there as well, and he now lives there. So we visit there whenever we go back to the States, and it is a very fun city. So hopefully we can bring in a lot of knowledge that we have about the city and learn some English along the way. Well, before we get started talking about the city itself, Josh, you have a really interesting story about how the word dibs came about.
So Chicago is one of these places that has driven a lot of American culture. So there's a lot of famous things that have come out of Chicago that have sort of like worked its way into the English language. And one of those is the idea of calling dibs, D-I-B-B-S, right? And this is not usually something that people will talk about a lot, but people will sort of use it in day-to-day conversation, meaning that they're claiming something as theirs. So when they say, I have dibs on the last piece of cake, it means that I'm going to eat the last piece of cake, so don't eat it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it all comes from Chicago, where in the wintertime, winters in Chicago can be
brutal.
Incredible. Yeah, brutal, right? So very, very cold, very, very windy, and also very snowy. You know, lots of snow all over the place. And in a lot of private neighborhoods, people, the only place they have to park their car is on the street. So they'll get all the snow piled up into parking spaces, and they'll work really hard to dig it out with a shovel. And then usually what they'll do is they'll place some sort of outside chair, like a garden chair or a fold-up chair, to claim dibs on that parking space, meaning I cleared out this parking space. This is for me. Don't park here because I'm going to need it when I get back home from work.
So there's the first, your first vocabulary word today, dibs.
Right. So I call dibs on this parking space, and there's going to be trouble if you take it.
That's right.
Well, there's a lot of hard work that went into that to clear the space with all the snow.
Well, you know, usually they, in the wintertime in the northern cities that have snow like that, they plow the streets. Mm. And you're supposed to clear your cars. You're not supposed to park there right. when they're plowing.
Exactly.
But sometimes people do, or the snow still gets piled up in those parking areas. So it is a lot of work to clear that off and clear that out. So I don't blame them for calling dibs on parking places.
I don't either. And for people who have never experienced it, this is heavy snow that can be above your head. I mean, it really is a lot
yes.
of work.
I have experienced it since I grew up in the Midwest, in the northern part of the Midwest, so yes, definitely. Well, the nickname for Chicago is the Windy City.
That's right. It is very windy there, and Linda, you could talk about that more, but it is nicknamed for that. I believe there's some debate on the origins of that, that it maybe it's not really just because of the wind. I think there's also some reference to politicians, and so you can take it like you want it, I guess. But most people, I think, when they hear Windy City, they think of the fact that Chicago is very windy.
And it's situated on Lake Michigan, which makes it very cold wind.
Yes.
And so for our listeners out there who are kind of miss the politician reference, when somebody talks a lot but doesn't really have a whole lot of substance to it, you can say that they're a blowhard. And so that kind of fits in with the entire, like, windy, like, saying a lot of stuff but not having a lot of substance.
Right.
Right. Well, we're on page 34 of your magazine, if you want to turn to that and follow us along. As we read, we're going to read the introduction and point number one. We're going to be looking at 12 best things, according to this author, to do in Chicago, and we'll probably throw in a few more, too. So get out your pens and paper and take some notes if you plan to go there.
Welcome to the Windy City, the 12 best things to do in Chicago. There's no place quite like Chicago, and it's not just because it gives new meaning to the word cold. While it has big city offerings, it feels cozy, approachable, and somehow familiar, even if you've never been before. Whether you want an escape with friends or a trip with family, Chicago has it all. We're here to help you pick what to add to your itinerary while you're in town. Here are 12 of the best things to do in the Windy City. 1. Challenge your fear of heights. The Willis Tower is one of the tallest buildings in the Western Hemisphere and home to Skydeck Chicago and The Ledge. Skydeck Chicago, an observation deck on the 103rd floor, attracts more than 1.7 million visitors a year, who can enjoy views of up to 50 miles out over four states. At 1,353 feet up, the ledge lets visitors stand in glass boxes that extend out 4.3 feet from the sky deck. It's definitely not for those with a fear of heights. The best time to go is just after opening, 9 a.m. March to September, and 10 a.m. October to February, or after 5 p.m.
I love this opening sentence. There's no place quite like Chicago, and it's not just because it gives new meaning to the word cold. I will tell you, I have been there a couple of times in the winter, and it is definitely cold. But, you know, there's no place quite like that. Usual saying is there's no place like home.
Mm-hmm.
And here, when they say there's no place quite like Chicago, it just means that there's it's such an interesting city and that has something for everybody.
It's unique.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that the next sentence is true. What does it say? It has big city offerings. But what else does it feel like?
So it feels cozy, approachable, and somehow familiar, even if you've never been there before. And Chicago is that kind of place where, even though it's a big city, like mm-hmm. in a way that like you very seldomly experience around the world, but still it does have this real sense of being like very cozy, so very like comfortable and welcoming and happy and approachable, even though it's this huge city with so much going on.
I think that's because it's divided into so many smaller neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
and each neighborhood has their own kind of flavor to it. So mm-hmm. if you go into a neighborhood, you know, you get a sense of, it's quite, well, you get a different sense from each one.
Yeah, and this word approachable, you can reach things easily.
Mm-hmm.
But if we use that for a person, that means, you know, you can go and talk to that person freely. If I say Josh is a very approachable person, that means he's very easy to talk to. I don't fear what he's going to say. And so those are a little bit different usages and for a city and then for a person.
Right. I also think that it could take away the fear of touring the city,
sure.
as well, but it also means it is easy to get around in. Mm-hmm. It is fairly easy to get around in.
Accessible.
And to find things. Right, mm-hmm. accessible. Even from the time that you land at O'Hare, which is like one of the busiest airports mm-hmm. in the world,
sure.
you know, you can get into the city by just taking the L, which is there for, it's an overground their overground subway system.
Yeah,
some
so
of
like
it is
an
underground.
Elevated train, right? So the L.
Right, and that's what everybody calls or uses and calls it. And mm-hmm. in fact, the last couple of times I've been to Chicago, I even came in. I came in during the workday, and so I just, you know, it's connected right to the airport, so you mm-hmm. can just walk out and get on the L, and it'll mm-hmm. it'll take you right downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I just got off at my son's L stop, and he
yeah.
met me there.
Very convenient.
It's very convenient and easy to get around in. And so if you want an escape with friends or a trip with family, Chicago has it all.
Mm.
So that's kind of an interesting introduction. So this author wants to help you pick an itinerary. What is an itinerary?
It's a plan, a detailed plan for a trip. And so if you're looking for things to do, you're going to Chicago, these are some things you may want to add to your particular itinerary.
And she actually has them numbered, I think, according to how probably her the way that she would do them.
Sure.
Okay.
And so this is something to remember about Chicago, is that because it really has something for everyone, that everyone's going to have a slightly different idea of the best things to do while you're there. And, of course, they can be customized for you. But she does have some pretty good suggestions and things that I would definitely be interested in as well.
Same here. I noticed that there are several things we've done when I've been there that are not on this list. And some of the things that she has on her list I haven't done. So
yeah.
It's pretty interesting. There's just so much to choose from. Well, the first thing that she brings up is challenge your fear of heights. And she's talking about the Willis Tower, which is the old Sears Tower, which is very famous in the United States.
Mm-hmm. It is very famous. And, as you see here, you can go up to the top. And, you know, you can do this in a lot of buildings around the world. And sometimes you feel like, well, if you've done it at one place, that's probably good enough. But this one here has something that maybe some other buildings don't have, right? We're talking about, you see the picture there on page 34. You can go out on this ledge, and it looks kind of scary. And if you're afraid of heights, it may not be for you. I am afraid of heights, and so I don't know if I'd want to do this. But at least you're contained in something, so maybe it's okay.
I don't know.
And I think for a lot of us who grew up in the United States, the Willis Tower, the Sears Tower, was a big part of sort of just like in the national consciousness, where everybody kind of knew about it, because for the longest time, it was one of the tallest buildings in the world. Here they're talking about being one of the tallest buildings in the Western Hemisphere. So usually when we say the Western Hemisphere, or the Western half of the globe, kind of talking about United States, Canada, Europe sort of area, right? But this is a tower that's sort of always been, I would say, like a destination for people to go check out, because it's been so famous, like the Empire State Building would be in New York.
Right, exactly. That is a very good comparison. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've never been here, because I, along with Brandon, would never choose to walk out over clear glass 400 and, what is it, 1,353 feet. That's about 412 to 13 meters above the ground. That is one thing I would never choose to do. But my daughter posted a picture of her sitting in a corner on it must be the ledge or the sky deck. You know, it's just glass. And you look and you see her sitting in the air, and far, far below her is the city.
Yeah, and that's the point of the term observation deck. It's a area on a high building, surrounded usually with railings or fencing. In this case, it's you're kind of all encased there in that glass box.
Mm-hmm.
But it provides you with a panoramic view, so you can see a view of the city. And I've done that here at Taipei 101. You know, you go up to a certain floor and you can look out over the city and get that panoramic view.
But you see here that it says you can enjoy views of up to 50 miles out over four states. So that just kind of gives you, you know, the scope of the distance, because this is the Midwest and it's flat.
Yeah.
Okay. And 101 in Taipei City, because Taipei City sits in a basin kind of, you know, when you look out, you pretty soon see mountains surrounding you. But here, four states, that is a long, long way.
It is a long way. I'm not super great at doing conversion in my head, but 50 miles is going to be over 80 kilometers. And so that is a really long way to be able to see.
Yes. And then it says here, it's definitely not for those with fear of heights, which would be Brandon and me. Josh, you're going to go?
I love heights. I love getting views of large areas. And the problem with doing these kind of attractions is that usually, like, they have 1.7 million visitors every year, right? Yeah. So the lines can be long, and it can take a while to get up to the top. But usually places like this are pretty good at moving through a lot of people in a reasonable amount of time. But it can also be a little bit expensive, and it makes a full day out of it, but I think it's worth it to do it at least once.
I agree, and I appreciate the fact that she says the best times to go are just after opening, which is 9 a.m. from March to September, and 10 a.m. from October to February. And I think that's just because of the daytime hours, because of it's light enough then. Sure. And after 5 p.m. And after 5 p.m., right around 5 p.m. would be dusk in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Right. In the summertime, because this is in the Midwest, it'll be light until, it won't be dusk until 7 or 8. Yeah. It stays light until like 9 or 10.
Right.
And you can also eat there on the 99th floor. A lot of people rent that space out for special events, but you can eat there for like $80 to $100.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they have options. And also another one, if you look at the picture at the top, it does tower above Chicago. But another building that you could go to, which is only 344 meters tall, is the John Hancock Building, and that has a restaurant at the top of it, which is more, not for a lookout, but for sitting down or,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's continue. The next thing that we're going to do now that we are scared to death is we're going to calm our fears by going shopping.
Two, shop till you drop. Oak Street is the place to go for luxury shopping. It's home to boutiques like Prada, Hermes, Jimmy Choo, Harry Winston, Christian Louboutin, Dolce & Gabbana, YSL, and many others. Its high-end atmosphere shouldn't be too surprising, as it's nestled into the heart of Chicago's richest neighborhood, the Gold Coast. You'll also find plenty of fabulous restaurants and hotels in the area.
So now we're going shopping, and we're going to Oak Street. And I want to point out that this is the place for luxury shopping. There are a lot of shopping districts, and there are malls in Chicago or, in suburbs of Chicago. But this particular area it's in Chicago's, at the end of the paragraph it says it's nestled in the heart of Chicago's richest neighborhood, which is called the Gold Coast. And that is right along Lake Michigan. And Oak Street is set back from Lake Michigan, and a lot of very wealthy people live there, like Oprah Winfrey. She lives in this area. But we see here that it's home to boutiques, and a lot of you maybe have heard these names, Prada, Hermes, Jimmy Choo, Harry Winston, a lot of others. And if it is a boutique, what does that mean?
Well, that is just a small shop, and it sells some clothes, fashionable clothes, shoes, things like that. Something that you would see in a high-end area.
Right.
That's a term that fits well, a high-end shopping area.
So they're small shops. They're not mall size. They're not like a Macy's or a Costco.
When I also think of boutiques, I think of things that are offered that are mainly clothes or accessories, like clothing accessories. Right. So shoes, belts, bags. But they tend to also be fairly unique.
Yeah.
Like what you would find in one boutique, you would not find in another one. And so that's kind of the point, really, to go find things that might cost a little bit more, but are of high quality and really very unique.
Right? Yes. Okay, and we see here also that they describe it as its high-end atmosphere shouldn't be too surprising. And I already said why it shouldn't be. But if we're talking about high-end, what are we talking about?
It's intended for people who have lots of money. So if you have a lot of money, you could go here and it would be fine for you. But for a lot of people, it would be too expensive.
Right. And it says it's high-end means that it's intended for people who want very good quality products and they don't care how much they spend.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can use it for more than just like things you would buy in a store. But for example, like if you were talking about a high-end sports car, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Talking about a sports car like a Ferrari or a Porsche or Lamborghini. So this, in the area of sports cars, these are the ones that are the really the best of the best, right? And
right.
So, and usually high performance and worth all the money that you have to pay for them. Where a lower end might be something like maybe like a Maserati. So still a sports car, but not going to be like $250,000.
Right. So it's, yeah, if you have money, this is the area to go. Mm-hmm. And if you look it up online, it's pretty cool. I haven't been here to this area. I've driven on, it's called Miracle Mile, which is the road that goes past the Gold Coast along the lake shore, and then you go back into the neighborhood. So it says it's nestled back in there, which means it's situated back in there.
It's kind of tucked into that area.
Yes. Yeah. And it also has some restaurants and coffee shops, and it's on-street shopping, so you are not going into a mall enclosed area. You're going from walking along the street, going from shop to shop in this area.
And even if maybe you're not prepared in order to spend the kind of money that is necessary to walk out with like a new Prada bag, there is something that we can do that's called window shopping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you window shop, it's for really for areas like this where you walk along streets that have fantastic restaurants or store or coffee shops, things you can do to stop to kind of like refresh yourself, but you can see all of the things in the windows and the displays. It'd be very interesting.
If you're going today, January 22nd, you would be walking very briskly.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's leave this area and let's get our inner nerd on.
Three, get your inner nerd on. The museum campus strives to offer something scientific for everyone. It's home to the historic Adler Planetarium, the Shedd Aquarium, and the Field Museum of Natural History. Plus, it has spectacular views of the Chicago skyline.
Well, here they're talking about a museum campus. So what does that mean?
Must be lots of museums there.
Right, it's a area.
So a specific area. So when we talk about a campus, a lot of times we'll talk about like a school or a university in particular,
mm-hmm.
where the campus is a number of buildings that are connected usually with some sort of like public green area or pedestrian space. And so when you're walking around on campus, it means that you have access to a lot of different areas. And here we're talking about a museum campus, which means that this is an area very friendly and comfortable to walk around in, but offers a lot of museums and a lot of attractions for the public.
Right. And some of these, because this is Chicago and it is wintertime, some of these are connected to one another by skyways. Mm-hmm. So you don't actually have to walk outside.
Oh,
because
nice.
If you look at the picture here, you'll see that it's situated right on the edge of Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the wintertime, if you go here, it is freezing, freezing cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
One December, we went to the Adler Planetarium. And when we left in the evening, it was around 5 o'clock or so, it was so cold. We were walking to catch a taxi across an empty parking lot with the wind blowing off Lake Michigan, which was iced over.
Wow.
I'm lucky I'm here today, not a stone stat of an ice statue in the middle of that parking
frozen.
Lot.
Yes.
But let's see. It says here it's the historic Adler Planetarium. And a planetarium, is designed to present the position and movement of planets and stars in the night sky. And actually, this planetarium has a lot more than that, but it has a lot of very interesting and very cool exhibits regarding
mm-hmm.
space.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we should mention here, so not everybody is interested in museums and places like this in various cities, but let's just be clear, Chicago takes it to the next level. So
yes.
If you're ever interested in going to anything like a planetarium or aquarium, a museum, a zoo, like Chicago is really the place to spend the time to go visit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And the Shedd Aquarium is here. And these are named after people, by the way, so
mm-hmm.
that's why it's called the Shedd Aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very unique displays, Well, not displays, but aquariums,
mm-hmm.
so different species of fish that you see here. And the Field Museum of Natural History is very famous all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these that they're talking about is very interesting. And I don't know if I really agree with number three. It says, get your inner nerd on. This is kind of an interesting introduction.
Yeah, it is. And you may not know what that's talking about. We can use that kind of phrase in different ways, get your inner whatever on. In this case, they're talking about being a nerd. And usually we refer to people as being nerds when they, you know, are very studious. They like, you know, these kinds of going to these kinds of places because they get more information. They learn as they go. And so it's kind of used in a fun way. And sometimes we refer to people as being nerds, and not a negative way necessarily, but really a fun kind of way.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, you know, I think a lot of us have these interests that maybe we don't talk about in a day-to-day way, but maybe we're super interested in marine life or interested in sports. Here, very close, is also a Soldier Field, which is the home of the Chicago Bears. Or we're interested in dinosaurs, or we're interested in history. So all these things that we're interested in, we can kind of like satisfy those interests by going to this area and kind of nerding out just a little bit.
I like the way you say that. I also want to bring up another museum that we went to a couple times ago when I was there, the Museum of Science and Industry. It's not part of this museum campus. It's on the south side of Chicago. Also very, very fascinating museum. Hmm. And the Field Museum of Natural History, a lot of dinosaurs and natural wonders that you would see around the world exhibited there. Hmm. Well, we've finished our first day. I don't think we could do all of this. Well, we could. We could do all of this in one day in Chicago.
Yeah.
So we hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we return to the Windy City. Bye for now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.